This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Audible.com. With more than 150,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals, for a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Coming up on TMS, get the Spears experience right here.
What are you going to be for Halloween?
I still don't know. Yellow Fever is back.
YouTube owns the mobile video stuff.
Gravity does not want anyone else to win.
Kesha is haunted by a rotting ghost.
I knew it. Morrissey says he's definitely not gay.
Eric Sapp review.
Major spoilers. These are the wrong people. So hold on. Chinbeard,
jury.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
How about an ice cream soda? How about Soda Burst? Soda Burst is the real ice cream soda that makes itself at home in 1 minute cold. All you add is water, because everything is right in one package. Big, healthy scoop of ice cream, delicious syrup, and plenty of good soda fountain fizz.
Disguised as pudding.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
Fat slob, let's see if you've got any guts. This is The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's The Morning Stream, pod fading since 2013. It's me, Scott Johnson. It's him, Brian Ibbett. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello.
How feeling, man? You better?
Better.
Okay.
Yeah, still not 100%. I'm at about 70.
70's not bad. That's the percentage of profit you would make from your app if you sold one on the App Store, Apple's
wow.
App Store. Yeah.
Really? Okay.
They take 30%. You take 70. Speaking of which, they're getting on stage today. Probably announcing new iPads. Probably announcing some Mackie stuff.
Right.
Possibly an Apple TV
thing.
Probably
another demo of Maverick and or Mavericks.
I think when they
will they sell Mavericks at the Walmarts?
I do not like... Can I just come out and say I do not like the new naming convention? I understand what they're doing, and it's... they want to change and stuff, and they're running out of cats, I guess.
Right, so it's on the beaches.
It's kind of like... They can't do, like, Calico or hairless Egyptian.
Now, do you remember back in the original iMac days, the first iMac days, the color blue that they offered? Do you remember what it was called?
This is super familiar, so hold on.
Sure.
Oh, gosh. They made it up, right?
No, it came from a beach in Australia.
Oh, what was it called?
It was called Bondi Blue.
Oh, Bondi, that's it.
Right,
I didn't know it was a beach. I just thought it was something they made up.
Yeah, so technically, they're just going back to beaches.
All right, well, it's time for us to go back to beaches, everybody.
Just like Bette Midler.
Oh, no, don't go back to that. I don't like that movie. Don't like that movie one bit. So anyway, we were gone for a couple of days. Had a big client thing last Thursday, which kind of destroyed Thursday's show. It worked out okay because Wendy was in Atlanta anyway, so she wasn't going to be around.
And we would have had to therapize people, and that would not have gone well.
No. Dude, we barely can manage a story about Britney Spears, which I'll get to in
barely,
a minute.
How can we be expected to help anybody else when we can't even help ourselves?
Exactly. So we're working away, doing what we got to do. Yesterday, you were ill, and ill to the point that it didn't make sense to do a show. So no show yesterday, but we'll have one today, tomorrow, and Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely.
Don't see a reason why not. And if things work out right, so now, okay. Update on the move, all right, real quick.
Sure. Oh, yeah, right, good.
So many boxes, so many things. We're so early preparation on this thing, but if all goes the way it's supposed to, now the new dates are sign on Monday, move on Tuesday, Wednesday, supposedly back to normal Wednesday night, possibly we do a show on Thursday.
Oh, okay.
Possibly. And then a couple the very next week before Blue.
So trying to move on Tuesday, you said? Tuesday and Wednesday?
Yeah, we're going to try to do an early week move, which is tricky, but it's not the same as a weekend, but whatever.
But at least you're not going to be trying to move on Halloween with all the kidlins running around.
Yeah, which nobody wants. I mean, yeah. I like my kids and I like other people's kids, but I don't like to run them over with a truck. Generally speaking, right. It's just a rule I have for myself. So we're trying to make that all work next week. And the only thing that would change it is if the bank was weird or some other unforeseen thing happens. But as it stands right now, that's the plan. So that's what we're going to try to do. I did put up like a little temporary file yesterday letting people know where we were at so they weren't freaking out and literally thinking we were fading because we're not fading, folks. If there's one show that will probably never fade on the network, percentage chance-wise, it's TMS.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, not that any of the others are in jeopardy of that either, but this one really is not. I mean, this is kind of the tree trunk to the tree.
No, there are too many people who show up here to the stream who I see as soon as I log in, you know, who say, good morning, Brian, and throw me bricks of love and stuff like that.
Sure.
That that if we ever pod faded that, I think we'd get lynched. I think we'd...
it'd be terrible.
We'd find a cooked rabbit on our doorstep the next day.
We would reap the whirlwind, as the kids are fond of saying today.
Right. Really? We'd get thrown some shade?
Yeah. We get thrown some shade. I haven't heard that in a long time. That's like a movie thing, isn't it? It's what like a mobster would say.
No.
Throwing shade. Hey, Vinny, throw him some shade. No?
No, that's when you glare at somebody just looking at them like you're so far gone. It's like a glare.
Wow.
Yeah, throwing shade. It's a new thing.
Okay.
Well, relatively new.
It's since Christine, what's her name? Kristen, what's her name from the Twilight movie? She throws a lot of shade, don't you think?
She throws a lot of indifference. she throws a lot of apathy.
Got it. That's different. She's throwing some A. There, right. Got it. Doing some right. E, throwing some A. All right, check it out, everybody. We're back.
Dancing and with Molly.
You know, we were speaking of that kind of sort of from a different generation,
right?
we've talked a lot about Britney Spears taking her hot new act to Vegas.
Yeah, as like with a residency.
Yeah, living there now in the hotel or whatever it is. And boy, I don't know if I'd want to live on the Strip. I don't know. I assume she's not. Is she going to have a big house somewhere? Like, I assume that's what that means.
I think what they do is when you have a residency, you get an apartment kind of thing at that hotel, wherever you're playing, and then. You know, some people will go back and forth between if they live in Hollywood, they'll fly back Thursday night and then, you know, come back Saturday night or something and only live in Vegas in the hotel provided by the apartment provided by the hotel that's in the hotel. So if she's at where she is, Caesars?
No, it's shite. I forget now. I forgot what hotel it is.
So whatever hotel that is probably provides her with a.
Circus.
Let's say it's circus. Sure.
That would be awesome. The worst hotel on the Strip. Hey, we got this sweet hotel at the top. It's painted like a clown's face, but it's pretty good.
That's right, yes. Yeah, it's all yours. So knock yourself out.
Smells like rotting flesh, but don't worry.
Here's a vacuum. You may want to hit this real quick.
Yeah, I do, yeah. And do it every day. And don't bring it. Do whatever you do, don't bring an infrared light in here. Don't bring it in because there'll be things everywhere.
That's right. Yeah. So anyway, they probably provide her an apartment, but she probably only lives there during the part of the week that her shows are running.
Well, that makes perfect sense to me. And hopefully, you know, she's comfortable and having a good time. She's actually performed a couple of times. And here's the whole point of me bringing this up. This isn't just that I'm into Britney Spears, because I'm not. But I am into really, really bad isolated mic tracks.
Oh, God. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, we've done this before, and... To everyone's credit, performer's credit, especially somebody who has to be as physical on stage as she does, because she's, you know, you're constantly prancing around and doing crazy moves and flipping your hair around, and you've got to have all kinds of production, pre-production, post-production, and all kinds of other crazy crap going on mixers in different rooms and people doing crazy things to boost the way you sound, to improve the way the overall experience sounds, because again, you're huffing and puffing and you're dancing around and stuff, and that's hard to do and still sing.
Sure.
There's a reason why Celine Dion only pounds her chest 3 or 4 times during her thing, but for the most part stays relatively still during her performance, because she has to rely on complete vocal clarity on stage. Somebody like Britney Spears, no, she's got to wrestle with a snake.
She's got to be dancing, exactly. Yeah, so it's really, I mean, they're not really even singing as much as moving, you know, basically making it look like they're singing while they're running around dancing and being active.
Yeah. And so knowing that, having given her that much, you know, what's the word? That much, I'm giving her that much of a, I'm giving her a pass, is what I'm saying.
Right. Benefit of the doubt.
Benefit of the doubt. Thank you. That's what I was going to say. Given all that, this is still really bad. Okay. So here's 32 seconds of Britney Spears performing on stage with her microphone isolated from the rest of the sound in the room. Here you go.
Boys, sounds like girl just needs one.
Yeah, no tighter than that.
Boys, love her to hold.
Ah!
Boys, and when a girl is with one. Boys, then she's in control. She loves me. Hollywood girl.
All right.
Wow, they really don't hear. I thought they'd have more of a monitor on stage to be able to hear what they're doing, but you hear the crowd so clearly that you wouldn't be able to hear them over a monitor.
No, I can't even imagine. Like people, like bands who get real worried about their monitor, there's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah,
because if they're not hearing themselves well, they have. Well, it's like us with headphones. I don't know how loud I'm
being. That's true. She probably does have. She has something in her ear, right? Of course, obviously that's playing it. Yeah,
you'd assume so. But man, all that did is prove to me that I could do it. I could take up residency in the freaking Space Needle, and I could get on stage and go, "Boys, something with the thing."
But she is, you know, to her credit, and you said this before, she is running around the stage and you know, having a choreographed dance move that she's got to remember and to jump and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But
we'll give her leeway. We'll give her leeway on this one.
A little bit of leeway.
Yeah, we understand it. So that stuff's great, and I wanted to share that with everybody. I also wanted to share the fact that there is a new film sack out. You can listen to it now. It was up as of yesterday. It's The Reanimator.
Yay!
Quick warning to the wise. It's kind of that movie's a little rough. Not for the kids at all.
Yeah, don't watch that with the kids. Maybe not even with the wife unless you both know what you're getting into.
Yeah, because she'll just be like, okay, I can't watch this, and she'll leave.
Yeah.
And you don't want that. And if you're the wife trying to get the husband to, and he's the he's the prudy one.
Oh, then
same problem.
Right. Yeah.
Or make him watch it. I don't know which. How does it work the other way? I don't know. Anyway, so there you go. Reanimator out now. Filmsack.com. And then the big question of the day before we get to the big, and I know we got a few days between now and then, but because things are going to turn into such chaos for me next week, I'm dying to know what Brian Ibbett is going to be for Halloween. Because every year, you know, you have parties, you do stuff.
That's right. Yeah. So a couple of years ago, we went out. So I'm trying to remember what we did last year. Can't remember what last year was, but 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So we've got, again, our next door neighbor friends, the crazy ones whose internet we're slurping off of.
Right.
we would try and do some sort of group costume if we can. We were going to do ABBA this year because there's, you know, four of us, two guys, two girls. We thought ABBA would be a great one to do. But we decided... Well, 2 years ago, we decided we would be characters from the board game Clue. I was Colonel Mustard. My friend Dave was Green. Tina was Miss Peacock. No, Tina was, Miss Peacock. And Carrie was Miss Scarlet.
Which one
and
goes, whoo? Which one's that?
That would be Miss Peacock, actually.
Peacock? Okay.
That's right.
That's one right and, here, everybody. I'm trying to find. I don't have who anymore on my soundboard. What did I do with that? Jeez. All right, anyway, go ahead.
What? So we went out. That's close enough. So we went out to dinner and even in our costume prior to the party we were going to. And the chef even came out of this great restaurant called Linger here in Denver and said, "Oh, my God, you guys are the Clue guys. Here, we're going to send you guys some free appetizers or free, you know." He brought some stuff, sent some stuff from the kitchen to us because he loved our costumes. So this year, Carrie and Dave are going as Gomez and Morticia Adams.
Oh, great.
Tina's going to be Wednesday.
Yeah.
Would you like to guess who I'm going to be?
I'm going to say you are going to be Cousin It. Or no, I'm sorry. You're going to be Fester.
There you go.
Because you're bald, and of course you would be.
Of course I would be.
Yeah.
Yep.
Great.
I have to be Uncle Fester. So,
there's a long line of fantastic actors who've played the role of Fester, including
Christopher Lloyd.
The great Christopher Lloyd, who was amazing in that role. So
he was. Jackie Coogan, who was in everything. Like this guy, if you look at Jackie Coogan's resume, the guy who played the original Uncle Fester, he was the I don't know what you call him, maybe the Michael Caine of
Michael
that time.
Michael Caine of his era of acting.
Of his era, yeah. He was in everything.
That's great. Look at you carrying the torch. So,
that's right.
He'd be proud. So, proud from the grave.
Yeah, and he joined in the chat room, says, Kevril, you should be thinking it would be hipster ironic. I was actually thinking of doing like a fake arm coming out of my sleeve, holding a box, and then my real arm would be stuck up in through the box and being thing. So like the box lid would open up and
your hand would come out.
Thing would grab a drink and...
Well, you still could. You could be Fester with the thing box in your
hand.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I could still do that.
Seems like a lot of work, though.
Yeah, it does, especially for someone who basically the parties are Friday night and Saturday night, and I don't think I'm going to have time to do all of that. I still have to go get a I still have to go get a big Uncle Fester coat.
Yeah, hey, that's going to be a little tricky to track down.
We're going to Salvation Army this week, and if there's any place that's going to have a big, ugly coat
right.
that nobody wants.
That's the place to get it.
Exactly.
Well, that or a Burlington Coat Factory. You can find a lot of big, ugly coats
that's,
nobody wants.
That's true.
So that there if you want. Well, that's great, right. dude. I'm excited for photos and physical proof that you did this thing. I think that'll be great. Also, by the way, I don't have any plans for anything because we'll be living out of boxes. We're going to be dressed as moving people, so that's our Halloween. I know it sucks, but whatever. You can do it. You do what you got to do, given the circumstances. So I'm dying to know. You know, I love the dentist. I go all the time.
Yeah,
I hate it there. Every time I go, there's some kind of problem.
Oh yeah,
or it's the reason I'm going. So you went last week, and I would like to know what a trip to the dentist is like for you, as opposed to the nightmare I have every 6 months.
Oh, it's a nightmare for me too. I've got a couple really sensitive areas, up in around where I've got some exposed root, basically, or exposed nerves up by the root. And so the hygienist that I usually go to, or the hygienist at the dentist that is almost always there when I go.
Just occurred to me that you said you have sensitive areas around your exposed root, but go ahead. No problem.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Isolate. Go ahead. Ice worm. I guess that's fair.
Cut that out.
So there was a new hygienist there. And so I'm like, oh God, I hope she knows what she's doing. And she looked in my file and saw that they had put little marks on my teeth diagram to show where these sensitive areas were. So I was glad about that.
Right.
Well, this is the dentist where they've got, they've got the dentist chair, and suspended right above it is like a 17-inch monitor hooked up to a Dell desktop behind you.
Oh, wow.
And so you can bring in your own DVDs. They have a bunch of DVDs there, but it's all really bad, like mountain skiing
and kids stuff too, I'm sure.
A lot of kids stuff.
Yeah.
So I always bring in my own videos. And I've brought in concert videos. I bring in movies. Occasionally I'll bring in like featurettes from films I haven't watched yet. Like,
oh, wow.
The making of Iron Man 3 or something.
Oh, weird.
Like
second DVD, like bonus disc stuff. That's
right,
great.
Exactly. So I decided this time I'd bring in A Mighty Wind,
okay.
The Christopher Guest film about the folk music festival.
Love that movie, yep.
I do too, and it's been a long time since I've seen it. So I pop it in, and she's like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this in forever. This is the new hygienist. And I haven't seen this one in forever. It's just so good. I love Christopher Guest. Oh, he's so funny. Oh, look at that. There's Lenny. Gosh, whatever happened to Squiggy? The whole time she's working on my teeth, she's commenting on the video.
Okay.
And then Jane Lynch appears on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, oh my God, she looks so young. Now, is she a lesbian? She like leans in really close
like
to whisper
ask,
that to me.
Ask you quietly if she's a lesbian?
Exactly.
Well, how did you, what do you say to that? How did you answer
I that? Said, uh-huh.
That's the other thing. They always want to be so conversational. The old joke about dentists wanting to talk to you while you get your mouth full of stuff is actually more appropriately placed at the feet of the hygienists. They're the worst.
They really are.
They want to know everything and talk about everything. And I've had one even pause waiting for me to answer as if I could say anything.
That's right. Exactly.
He's like, what do you think? Do you think two is really the worst age for kids? You think the terrible twos is a true thing? And I'm going... I can't answer you.
Now, how do you calculate the hypotenuse of a right angle again? Just yes or no questions. All right.
That's great.
Yes or no.
But did she successfully navigate your tooth deal? Like, and not
she
poke
did,
you in
yes,
a sensitive
and,
place?
Came right. through like a champ.
All
so
right. Good. Good, good, good. Because you never know what you're going to get with a new one.
No, no. Sometimes there's no better feeling than when that dentist appointment is over and you know you are the furthest from the next dentist appointment that you're going to be for the next 6 months.
That is a nice thing. That is really nice. I love that. You know, I've got to go back in for the second eye now. Have I told you about this?
I saw that. Yeah. So your other eye now is
starting to go weird. Yeah. I'm starting to get the same stuff happen to it and rapidly, like quicker than I expected. I don't know why. I must be some weird statistic. I'm not supposed to have this young, but whatever. They're going to probably, I don't have an appointment till after BlizzCon, but when I go in, they're probably going to recommend surgery again. And then I'm going to have that one done. And then in theory, I'll have the best possible situation because then I am computer distance focused perfectly. So about this far from me, like a book or whatever. So that'd be great for reading, for everything I do. And that will never require glasses again. That'll be a glasses-free experience. And then all distance stuff, I'll have to wear glasses for, like driving and stuff. Big deal.
Wow.
Been doing that my whole life, so who cares? So, yeah, I'm whatever. Another $2,500 or some ridiculous amount of whatever my copay on that thing is. Wouldn't even call it a copay. It's just my whatever I have to pay. Anyway, I'll keep people informed. But I'm glad that you don't have any major dental work to be done. And you had your cold this week instead of that week because nobody likes.
Well, I would have canceled the dentist appointment if I felt like this for sure.
It's also a good day when you have to cancel a dental appointment.
It is kind of it's like I've got a cold. I can't make it to the dentist today.
Yep. I have successfully procrastinated a thing I hate.
Nature procrastinated for me.
We are going to do a little Trek Nerd time, but there are no. This is not an edition with Daryl. Yeah, he's still in California. Yeah. He's at Disneyland, Legoland, and. Sort of all parts in between.
Knott's Berry Farm, probably.
Probably. He said on Twitter yesterday that Legoland sucks. That's not good.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know if that's been ages. I mean, decades. Like multiple, well, probably 15 years since I was at Legoland. So I have no idea what it's like today. But his tweets made it sound like it was a real dump. But instead, we're going to go ahead and do Stump a Trek Nerd anyway, but we're going to involve the listeners. So you live listeners right now, if you want to participate. You call us on Skype. My Extra Life is the Skype name. You don't have to add as a friend. You just literally call it. It'll ring here. And if you are chosen at random, you can answer this question live on the air and try to win some sort of small prize, which you haven't figured out yet. But we'll figure it out. Don't worry. So here we go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by...
Get the new Walter White Let's Cook apron with artwork by Scott. Available now at tiny.cc/WaltApron.
Oh, is that
tiny? That's very cool.
Did I call it Walt Apron? Yeah, I did. You're right. Also, the Zambi print is up, and that's doing way better than I thought. So yesterday, here, I'll give you a link. Okay. Yesterday, I did a comic.
Uh-huh.
Just a dumb idea I had in my head. And, I'm always saying Zambies instead of zombies just as a joke.
Sure.
Well, it got me thinking. Here, click that link in Skype, right. And you'll get the jokey joke here.
That's awesome.
So
I love it.
It's Bambi as a zombie.
Right.
And
Zambi.
Zambi. So I thought it would be fun to put that up on the store. And, man, you guys are responding like crazy. Apparently that thing is, I don't know if it's Halloween or what the deal is, but people are into that business. All right, we have on the phone with us Colby Cobb. Colby, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What is what's your name in the tadpool normally?
Colby Cobb.
Colby Cobb.
Oh, well, there you have it then.
I just started showing up because I just started working from home.
Oh, that's great. How's that going for you?
It's going pretty good. It's nice to be able to listen to you guys while at work because I'm doing web design and stuff.
No, that's cool. The hardest part about working from home, my experience is not all the things people think it is. Like they think it's, it's too easy to get distracted or not do things or, you know, you're too close to your TV or your fridge or whatever. To be productive or whatever. That has not been my problem. My problem has been 100% that I'm not good at limiting how long I'm working. So like,
that's me too, because I work all day. And then once we get ready to go to bed, like once my wife goes to sleep, I get up and work for like 2 or 3 more hours.
Yeah. You don't have somebody kicking you out. You don't have HR saying, dude, you can't do overtime this week. You know, like none of that stuff exists anymore. So I have a hard time telling myself, no, you need to actually take some time off here. You need to stop doing things.
Instead of doing my like creative things, I'm like, well, I could be working. I should
be working right now. Because you know you could. You know you could, and it could happen right now. So, yeah, so look at us commiserating. I love this. All right. Colby, it's good to have you on the show. We're going to ask you a hard trivia question, a Star Trek question. You literally have 10 seconds to answer it once you hear it, because this is the way we keep people from cheating. Not calling you a cheater, because that wouldn't be nice.
Right.
But it's just a general rule. Applies to everybody. Here we go. Here's your trivia question.
All right.
In the Voyager episode, these are all non-normal Daryl series here. In the Voyager episode, Death Wish, a Q who goes by the name of Quinn wants to commit suicide. Q, the one everyone knows, is assigned by the Q Continuum to not allow this. A hearing is held aboard Voyager. Janeway ends up siding with Quinn. Quinn becomes mortal and kills himself by eating a poisonous plant. Jeez, Janeway, supported that kind of business?
It's crazy.
Anyway, what plant does Quinn eat to kill himself?
Was it Kevorkian?
The Kevorkian.
Kevorkian.
Yeah, the Kevorkian.
That's what they should have called the episode.
It grows on the... Oh, Kevorkian. Got it. That's pretty good. Yeah. Damn you. That's funny. All right. A, Cove Palm. B, Nogach Hemlock. Nogach? Nogach Hemlock, I guess? I don't know. C, Mako Root. Would you say
that one sounds too real?
Mako, Mako, yeah. Or last, Talaxian Worm Root. So again, Cove Palm, Nogach Hemlock. Although, yeah, I think that's how I'm saying it right. Nogach Hemlock, Mako Root, and Talaxian Worm Root. So those are your options. You have 10 seconds to comply.
I'm just going to go ahead and go with D because it sounds the most space-related.
Talaxian worm root sound? Yeah. Plus, wasn't Neelix was a Talaxian, right? So that was an actual thing in the show.
I have no idea.
He was always eating worm root.
While he's thinking about his answer, even though he's already given it,
yeah,
I could tell you we do have a Star Trek birthday.
Oh, we have a birthday? Who?
The aforementioned Christopher Lloyd.
No way!
Oh, that's he's 75.
He's 75 today, yeah. Doc Brown, Uncle Fester, and of course, Krug. Krug? What was his name?
Krug.
In Star Trek 3.
Yeah. The Search for Spock is that one.
The Search for Spock. The Search for Subtitles.
That's right. Oh, that movie.
When we watched that movie, there were no subtitles. I was so confused.
Yeah. Same with me.
Yeah, I mean, we were as well. And we just watched it, last summer? So, right. I think that's great because he's great. He has a lot I have a lot of really fond memories of him from all the way from the Taxi days.
Yeah, he just doesn't do anything these days.
Yeah. Well, he's doing a lot of producing, right? Like a lot of...
That's a different Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, it is?
The Christopher Lloyd who's involved with Modern Family is not the same Christopher... not this Christopher Lloyd.
Oh. Well, that guy should go change his name. Have it legally changed or something.
I think you're exactly right.
And they should not be two Christopher Lloyds.
He does a lot of, small appearances and stuff. He was on Raising Hope and Psych this year. Mm-hmm. He's done some stuff for Robot Chicken almost every year.
Yeah.
I know he's in the Piranha movies.
Oh, right.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, sure enough. Yeah, Piranha 3 Double D.
The Double D one for sure. I have not seen either of those, but I've seen his name in the credits.
There you go.
Well, all right. Uncle Fester, live long and fester. all right. Let's find out if he's right about his answer here. And let's see. How do we do that? Here you go. Incorrect. It was the Nogach Hemlock. Eats this plant and dies shortly after. His death results in the Civil War and the Q Continuum. The only way to stop this war is for a new Q to be born. Q tries to get Janeway to have his child. Q's girlfriend does not like this. I didn't know Q had a girlfriend. Anyway, here's a clip of Q getting Q's girlfriend laying some serious smack talk on Janeway. Here you go.
I'm just not the right kind of woman for you, Q.
Truer words were never spoken.
Q, how did you find me?
Never mind that. What are you doing with that dog? I'm not talking about the puppy.
Oh, zing!
Jeez.
That is rough.
That's some fantastic acting right there.
I'm not talking. Would she go to the Cruella de Vil school of acting?
What are you doing with that dog?
That's terrible. Like a
Real
Disney
Housewives
villain.
Of Sector 5.
Yeah, real bad. Of Nebulon 5. All right, well, good job, and way to go in not getting the answer right. But it's been fun hanging out with you anyway, Colby, to the point that even though you didn't win the big prize, I do have a small prize to send you.
Ooh.
So what I need you to do is initiate... Yeah, we'll call it a booby prize. Initiate a private message chat with me in IRC, and I will get the deets from you, and we'll get you taken care of. Sound good?
Cool, thanks, guys.
All right, man. We'll see you later. I like Colby. He's nice.
Yeah.
He seems like a real genuine fella. All right, so, Brian, real quick, because we have so much of it to go through, and I'm trying to move as little stuff as I possibly can this week.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Oh, yeah. Watch a foodie.
Do you want to grab the bag of, it looks like Japanese Lay's.
Okay.
They're like chips, but they're Japanese. It's definitely, like, the name on it is Layu or Lao.
Exactly, it's like the, right, it's the Lay's logo.
Although this is definitely not Japanese, flavor. Though. This is like... That's not, those aren't characters.
Yeah,
those
are,
this is more like Laotian or, let's see, Pep.
Singapore would be my guess.
Singapore maybe? See. Oh, Thailand, because th.th on the website.
Oh, there it is, yep.
Well, what kind of scribble is that? Jeez. I thought Thailand had, I don't know why I thought they had different character sets, but whatever, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yep, sure enough, there it is, Lay's Thailand. All right, so some Thai Lay's.
Listen, can you make your squeak? Oh, yeah, it's not doing it now. No, never mind. All right, mine is super puffy with air.
Mine too.
So we're going to pop this
was actually good. Used as packing material for the rest of the food.
That's
the
right.
Box.
Oh my gosh, I can't even get a hand on it.
Woo!
Hold on. Oh,
oh, these are gosh. Definitely, these are definitely like the reconstituted... baked Lay's kind of chips. These are not.
No.
Yeah. Well.
Yes. I mean, I yes. And
do you agree?
I do agree. Yeah. But I'm not 100% sure. I don't know enough about this stuff. But I can tell you that the seaweed smell is real strong.
Yeah, it is. Even through my stuffed nose, I can smell that seaweed
that's
smell.
Yeah, really strong. And I think these are flecks of it on the chip. So here we go. Let's try one. Oh, wow.
Oh, they're good.
You know what? That's real good. Oh, man, that's good. Why am I so surprised at this latest batch about how good everything is?
I know. Everything's been really good.
That's amazing. All right, tomorrow we're going to eat like three things, so be prepared for that.
All right.
We're going to rip through this box.
There's a lot of stuff to do.
I got about eight boxes behind me full of things I don't even know about yet. So
exactly. We had tofu jerky that came in recently.
Some pop with that or something. Soda, sorry. Whatever it is, wherever part of the country you're from. Soda.
Oh, yeah. Some root beer. Some bottles of root beer.
Yeah, those look great.
You know what? As a matter of fact, I think we might want to do those while Daryl's gone because I don't think he got the root beer.
Oh, okay. We can do that.
So refrigerate that tomorrow or refrigerate it for tomorrow.
I think I've already got one in there, so...
Cool. Man. Perfect.
Prepared. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
You are prepared.
I am prepared. that's it for that segment. What do we do now? How about some news? Maybe that'll work. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by the following. We're the Friendly Neighborhood Gamers, and we'll be hosting a 25-hour gaming marathon on November 2nd to raise money for the All Children's Hospital in St. Petersburg, Florida. We'll be playing Minecraft, Borderlands 2, League of Legends, and a few other games throughout the event. We'll be doing Steam Origin giveaways leading up to and throughout the marathon. So check us out at fngamers.net or on Facebook at facebook.com/friendlyneighborhoodgamers.
Perfect. Yellow fever.
Yeah,
it's like the 18, it's like the 1800s. All
that's what I got. Oh, yellow fever.
Oh, great. Yellow fever mosquito was detected in California. So
really?
Yeah, prepare yourselves. Brace for it. Mosquito case.
They discovered it in Anaheim. Yay!
Yeah. In the convention center, in fact. It's, it's right there. A mosquito capable of carrying deadly yellow fever. Dengue.
Yeah. Dengue fever.
Wow. Is that too much Bengue? I'll give you Dengue? and other diseases have been detected in California as vector control agents scramble to control its spread. The bug, which the bugs were first detected in the Central Valley communities of Madera and Clovis. Clovis is such a great name. Clovis. And were detected again this week in Fresno in the San Mateo Valley in the Bay Area. They bite during the day, prefer people to animals, and only need a teaspoon of water. To live or spawn or survive. Less than in a saucer under a houseplant. Yeah, that's a terrible way to write that. See how you wrote that?
By the way, it's dengue. I'm sorry. I misspoke. Not dengue, dengue.
Dengue. Now, I want to find out what dengue actually does to you. Because I know yellow fever.
It's an acute infectious disease caused by a flavivirus. Flavivirus.
All right.
Transmitted by Aedes mosquitoes, characterized by headache, severe joint pain, and a rash. also known as breakbone fever.
Breakbone fever? Ugh. I don't like the sound of that.
No.
Yeah, I'm reading it right here. Transmitted by mosquito. The virus has four different types. Lifelong immunity to that type. So if you survive it, you're good. but if you don't, you're dead. That makes sense, right? If you don't survive, you die. I get it.
Right. Yes, it's usually,
totally got it.
You'll need WebMD to figure that out.
let's see. The babies. Babies and old people, once again, are the most at risk. I'm trying to find the... Let's see. Prevention. Advocacy, social mobilization, and legislation are the three number one ways to avoid it. So... It sounds like if it bites you, you're screwed. Let's see. Collaboration between the health and other sectors. Evidence-based decision-making. Okay, great. Wow, that's great.
Mm, super.
Whenever those are your solutions, that means that thing's bad. Let's see. They bite during the day. Oh, I already mentioned that. Quote, if it gets away, if it gets away, it will change the way we live in California, meaning gets out of hand.
Right.
You may not be able to sit on your patio and enjoy a cup of coffee during the day without getting bit, says Tim Phillips of the Fresno Mosquito and Vector Control District. Now, if I had ended with saying Ted Phillips of the Fresno Mosquito, you would have thought I talked about some weird local newspaper.
The Fresno Mosquito.
Yeah.
What an ironic name for...
We really should change that name.
That's right.
That's terrible.
This is our story. We finally got our story.
You know, and to me, I'm like, whatever. Why is everyone worried in November about... mosquitoes? And then I went, oh no, California stays warm, duh.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not like here where they all died a month ago. Yeah, so there's that. That's something, right? I mean, that makes me just nervous a little bit. I don't like
it's not puppy-sized bees, but it's still kind of scary for sure.
Nature is scary, but here's the thing I learned about nature. There's this great article on Boing Boing, I want to say, boingboing.net yesterday, that was about how the zombie uprising thing is complete garbage and would never last more than like the first day because the animal kingdom would destroy it. And they gave all these very specific answers. It wasn't just simply that, yeah, the bears would eat them. It wouldn't be like that, but it would be like these birds and bugs and just all these species of different kinds of animal and insect that would just immediately turn on the zombies who are brainless. You know, it's assuming a few things, like zombies don't have a way to protect themselves and they're just stupid and wander around and, you know, laying in the forest when they're not walking around or whatever.
Right, right, right.
They'd just be destroyed. They'd be treated like
microorganisms and stuff would just go to town kind of thing.
Yes, and then not only that, wild animals would hunt it down. They'd find this rotting flesh and they'd tear it off the bones and eat it.
This has to make Carter super happy.
Oh, she's thrilled about it. I told her, I said, those animals you're always trying to save, that meat you'll never eat, they're going to save you one day when the zombies come out.
Well, just the fact that isn't she the one who's honestly afraid of a zombie uprising?
Oh, she hates the idea.
Yeah,
like literally scares her.
So now she knows, like, all right, wouldn't happen.
Yeah. Like she came in the house, I don't know, last week when I was binging on season three of Walking Dead, trying to catch up. And she came downstairs. She goes, hey, Dad. I go, hey, how was school? She goes, okay. And we turned around and went upstairs. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, you're watching the zombie thing. I was like, yep. She can't deal with it. She hates it.
Wow.
She doesn't hate, like, she loves post-apocalyptic, you know, movies and tales and
like
stories.
Like her dad, yes.
Like me. But she doesn't, the zombie part just doesn't work for her because in her mind, well, it's the whole reason it works for most people is the reason she hates it, is because this idea of a mindless, pitiless, feelingless creature that used to be a person is just going to eat you because there's nothing, you know, there's no way to change that. Somebody who used to be this sweet, innocent person has turned into this terrible thing. That whole idea just gives her the willies. So,
yeah, well, I'm sure
it's understandable. Let's see here. 40% of all, here's some tech news for you.
All right.
Sorry, Tom, we're busting it on your territory.
Eating your lunch.
I was on tech news today, yesterday, and they, it's funny because, you know, you get on that show and it's all tech all the time. But I still find myself occasionally something will pop in my head that's totally dumb and stupid and really appropriate for this show.
Yeah.
But I would never want to say it over there. But man, the temptation is strong to just make some off-color joke.
Okay.
And I didn't do it. I just want people to know, like three or four yesterday popped into my head, like a stupid innuendo or some kind of double meaning, which is kind of the same thing, right?
Right. Yeah, you can't do your film sack and TMS
no.
Responses.
Yeah, not in Leo's backyard. Come on now.
No. 40 kick you out of Petaluma for that.
Right. There's a city ordinance. 40% of YouTube traffic is now mobile. This is up from 25% in 2012 and 6% in 2011. So look at that jump. 6% of all video was on mobile platforms, phones, tablets, whatever.
2 years ago.
Here we are this much later. 40% of all. That's nearly half of all YouTube traffic. To put its transition into perspective, Facebook said it had 819 million monthly mobile users. That's 73% out of its 1.15 billion users in quarter two of 2013. That's up 543 million or 56%. That's crazy. Like mobile's just, I wouldn't say it's taking over, but it's taking up residence in the computing world. Like it's just the way it is. There's no other way around this.
Which means people are watching those horrible videos on teeny tiny crappy smartphone screens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people are watching What the Fox Say and teeny tiny, three inch display.
Sure. I mean, I caught myself watching, I told you the other day, I'm watching that American Horror Story season one.
Yeah.
Just to catch up, and it's Halloween so I can justify it, because otherwise that show kind of creeps me out. But the thing is, what I didn't realize is the first episode really was the scariest. Everything since then has been kind of dumb. Not dumb, but just not scary.
Yeah, right, because they've got, instead of doing the shocking points, they've got to kind of provide story, background.
Yeah, I feel like the pilot was such a hard job, and they really wanted to make it polished off and good.
Right.
And then they approved it, and they went, "Oh well, shit! Now we got to write a show around this." It's like making the Matrix sequels. You know, you got to come up with something.
Right.
But it's I don't know what to say about that show yet. I got to get to the end of this first season, and then I'll. And you and others have said, "Oh, two is kind of a stinker."
Skip the second season. The third season so far is interesting. I won't say it's great yet, but
is it the same house?
It's starting off. No. It always takes place in a different location. Oh, okay. The second one took place in an insane asylum, and then this one, the current one, takes place in New Orleans with witches, with a coven of witches, but a lot of the same actors and actresses. So, like the curly headed blonde kid has been in every season, and the daughter from the first season, the season you're watching, is in the current season. She wasn't in the last season.
Oh, but she's in this one. But the parents aren't in there.
She's in this one. The parents aren't. Connie Britton and Dermot, not Dermot Mulroney, Dylan McDermott.
Dilbert McDermott. He burned his junk on the stove, and that was it for him. He was out.
That's how you get out of that show.
How do I get out of this contract? Burn your junk on the stove.
That's right. But so far, Kathy Bates is in the current season, and it's not bad at all. So is Angela Bassett.
I love Angela Bassett.
Jessica Lange is in every season.
Okay, because she's supposed
She's great. Yeah, she's very compelling to watch. I don't know what it is about her.
She's an intense lady, I'll tell you that.
She's a very intense lady. She's a really good actress, and she's held up well. Uh-huh. I think
she looks amazing for her age.
Yeah,
absolutely. And they can make her up to look young when they need to.
Yeah,
and she takes it well. It's not like Picard with weird makeup in that third X-Men movie, where you're like, "That's weird. What are you doing there?" Like it wasn't. It's not like that. She actually looks pretty good.
Right. She doesn't look like an anime version of herself.
Like those Picard are so weird. Yeah. I did not like that. And what was the name of that X-Men movie? The third one.
It was the Wolverine one that he appears at the end of.
Yeah. Well, now they do. Yes, and that looked weird
X-Men
too.
Origins.
Yeah, that looked a little weird too. But they
didn't do it. Oh, you know in the flashback scene when they went back to deal with Jean Grey. Yeah,
okay. Him and Gandalf, they both had like 12 feet of makeup on. It just looked really weird.
Not nearly as bad as the stuff at the end of X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Charles, I can't move my face because it's covered in so much prosthetics.
Anyway, I'm enjoying what I'm enjoying, I guess, of it.
Yeah.
And that Connie Britton can act. I give her that.
She really can, and it's too bad that she didn't stick around for all the seasons. I guess, I hear from people that she's good on that Nashville show, but there really is nothing besides her that would make me watch that show.
Yeah, nobody's watching Nashville. As far as I know, that thing's not doing that great, but whatever. She's always going to be Tammy Taylor to me.
Right.
Aww. Oh, I love that show so much. Let's see. See, of course, maybe Nashville is the next Friday Night Lights. I just don't know it yet. Like, I should probably give it a shot and see. Probably not. You don't think so? Okay.
Probably not. All right. No, probably not.
She was great on the West Wing, and I'm not kidding. She was awesome on there. She played a press somebody helper man woman. I forgot what the deal was.
Somebody helper woman. Obviously, her power is to help somebody. Excelsior!
I thought of you this weekend because I've been playing and putting it on YouTube, and I'm hoping to have the last couple of segments up this week before everything goes crazy here. But I've been playing the Stanley Parable on Steam. It's a game just came out. Is based on an old Half-Life game or a Half-Life mod. Okay. And now it's its own full, standalone game. It's like $12 or something. Cheap indie game. And it's really fantastic in every way possible. I just absolutely am in love with this thing. But it's called the Stanley Parable. And the entire time, anytime I hear it, I think of the Stan Lee Parable and how much fun that would be to play. And that's why I'm
looking at screenshots from right now. It's like in an office.
It is the weirdest thing. It's the weirdest
70s,
thing.
80s looking. Oh, and then there's a library. Oh, this looks really cool. Yeah, what is the,
it's so
what's
worth
the object
playing.
Of the game?
It's a first-person walk-around-do-stuff game.
Okay.
And I don't know how to explain it other than to say it's kind of one part Portal, one part Douglas Adams, kind of Hitchhiker's Guide kind of vibe, one part a little bit creepy and weird. I don't know what to call it.
Here's the phrasing from the website. The Stanley Parable is a first-person exploration game. You will play as Stanley, and you will not play as Stanley. You will follow a story. You will not follow a story. Yep. You will have a choice. You will have no choice. Yeah. The game will end. The game will never end.
Yeah. That's if that doesn't tell you kind of... If that doesn't give you at least a hint as the kind of thing you're going to be getting into, then I don't even know.
That sounds great.
Very hard to explain. Very hard to put down. Really, really compelling. And it's getting all kinds of hype and buzz, and it's in the 90s on Metacritic, and it deserves it. It's really, really cool.
Is it PC only? Or
PC
is
and
it...
Mac, I think. It's running on a Source engine, so I'm pretty sure it's on both.
Okay. Oh, no, according to the Steam page, it's PC only. But
that should be easy to port at some point. I'm sure they'll do a version.
Yeah.
But it's so worth playing.
It looks really cool. But are you solving... Do I want to know? Do I want to ask questions?
I don't know if I can... Even if you asked, do you solve puzzles, which is what I think you were going to ask.
Yeah.
I guess you kind of do, but you don't really. Like, okay. It's... Imagine what Arthur Dent's life must have been like those first few days. It's kind of like that.
Cool.
It is a trip,
I won't ask any more questions. I might have to check this out. It's
worth
really
playing,
cool.
Yeah. For people who like narrative in games and are just looking for something so different and, like, just yanking your brain around, this game is great at that.
Yeah.
And you like that kind of stuff. So
I do like that stuff. Yep.
Oh, well, good job, YouTube, is the point of that article. What else?
Oh, yeah, no kidding. Wow.
Went off on that for a while. Audible.com is sponsoring the show today. Audible.com, everybody. It's where you get your audio books. You know, books like, you ever read American Gods, by the way, by Neil Gaiman?
Yes. Love that. Actually, that was the book I had him sign when we went and met him last month or a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I don't know that there is a book I've enjoyed more on Audible specifically than I did American Gods, partly because George Guidel voices it or does the narration.
Okay.
That guy is insane. He's so good and did a bunch of the Dark Tower books as well. And I'll almost read a book that I've never heard of just because I heard George Guidel does it. And that is kind of the power of Audible.com. And I'll give you a taste of it here. Let's see. American Gods. So here's... Well, I put a Z. That's fantastic.
That's the hip hop group based
right,
on it.
Right. Yeah. Yo, Z, what up, Freaky G? Okay, here it is. 10th anniversary edition. Who's that narrated? Oh, that's narrated by somebody else. No, I don't want to chat now. Hold on. Go out of there. Here we go. Okay, here's the George Guidel version. I'll just play a sample of it. You can hear his voice.
In the beginning, it was too far away for Shadow to focus on. Then it became a distant beam of hope. And he learned how to tell himself, this too shall pass.
Oh, he's so good, dude. So amazing. Anyway, you get a book like that or any other book absolutely for free. Guess how you do that, Brian?
How do you do that? Would you possibly do something like that?
You go to audiblepodcast.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. All one word, morningstream at audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. That'll get you one free audiobook of your choice. And it doesn't matter what that book or hundreds of thousands of others are at your fingertips. Unabridged goodness at audible.com. That's audiblepodcast.com/morningstream. Get a free audiobook download today. All right? Okay.
Okay.
Great. All right.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
Oops, it's Celebrity Poop brought to you by...
brought to you by Maniacal Industries, where you can find our new comfy, lovely, sexy, and smart Occam's brand razors t-shirt. Eco-responsible, hand-printed, and now made with 30% less child labor. Woo! Maniacalindustries.com. In other news, sack the Star Trek movie? Which one?
I assume
which
it means the original asking? One is what I think.
Oh, I don't know picture. If I could watch the motion picture again.
I don't know either, dude. Walking around in their space 1999 suits and just sucks. Yeah. Gravity is still a big threat. Is serious about keeping the competition at bay.
No kidding.
Films about outer space are just asking for puns, but there's no getting around this one. Gravity won't come down to Earth.
Oh,
USA Today. Is there anything you can't put in a chart and down in the left-hand corner of your front page? The sci-fi thriller, which has become an early Oscar heavyweight. I don't like that term, Oscar heavyweight. I don't like that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know why. Oscar heavyweight?
Oscar heavyweight.
It's starting to sound like a guy now that we say it that often. My name is Oscar heavyweight.
My name is Oscar heavyweight.
And you may have seen my health pills
you might
before.
Remember me from my P90X.
I would buy a fitness regime from Oscar Heavyweight, no problem. And box office smash during the season that usually produces very few claimed its third straight week at number one. The two-person film starring Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. I haven't heard of that guy. I don't know who that is. George Clooney? Yeah.
Clooney.
Thank you for correcting that. Hauled in $31 million, according to studio estimates from Rentrack. The $100 million movie has grossed $170.6 million domestically. We'll probably do much more internationally. Yeah, it's killing everybody right now.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do?
It's great.
Stand back.
Have you seen it yet?
King in town. Say what? No, I still haven't seen it. We were gonna go Saturday, and things just got out of hand. I've got the feeling I'm not seeing a movie until we're out. So
I think you still gotta try and see this one. And you don't do the 3D stuff, but or you haven't tried yet, right?
No, I haven't tried, and I'm worried about experimenting with something that.
Right.
I feel like your idea is the good one, which is go see something else, but then sneak into another theater for a minute, look at it, and see how it. Looks
exactly. See if you can see the 3D.
Yeah, if I can
without
stand
paying
it.
A full price for a ticket.
Yeah. So because otherwise, I'm just 2 hours for nothing. You know.
This is one you absolutely have to see in the theater. I think.
I agree, and we'll do IMAX one way or the other. Even if it's not 3D, I'll do IMAX.
Cool.
And we're moving really close to it. In fact, we're right over there near that. The one we saw.
Right.
Big one. Kesha is haunted by a rotting ghost. She said this on Jimmy Kimmel.
Kesha is a rotting ghost. Yeah. Oh, haunted by.
Oh, haunted by. Ghost. Yeah. You're laughing, but it's very serious. She says, and it's a problem. It sounds ridiculous, but in all honesty, I believe all this crazy shit. I believed I had dead people in me.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I wouldn't surprise. None of this is shocking.
Dead people, live people.
Now here's a shocker. Although
rotting people, sure.
I smell rotting people.
Oh, look at that. If you see a picture of it, you can actually see the rotting ghost in her teeth.
Yeah. Right up front.
The rotting ghost's teeth. You can actually see right there in her mouth.
That's right. Maybe she just needs some sleep.
She looks like she has meth mouth.
Maybe I just need some rehab. How's that song go?
Yeah. Maybe I just need some rehab.
Maybe I just need some sleep.
That was the last audio we played.
Which I can't find anywhere. I don't know what I did with it. I had that whole MP3 and I lost it. I don't know what happened. Anyway, Morrissey, this just in, everybody. The Smiths, back in the news. Morrissey, who I like a lot, he says he's not gay. I'm not gay, he says.
Oh, okay.
Veteran singer Morrissey has set the record straight about his sexuality, insisting he is not gay despite enjoying a close relationship with a male photographer in the 1990s. He writes this, "Unfortunately, I am not homosexual. In technical fact, I am humosexual. I am attracted to humans, but of course not many." Unquote.
Right.
I like his attitude. The message won't come.
I'm attracted to depression and sadness.
Yes. And my girlfriend in a coma, I know.
And some girls are bigger than others.
The message won't. By the way, if you've never seen, I know I've recommended it before, that documentary called, it's about the, oh gosh.
About the Smiths?
No, who were the guys in New York? The New York Dolls.
Oh, right.
It's called New York Doll, and it's about the guitarist and his life and kind of where he ended up. And Morrissey is in that. He's all up in that. And he's great in it. Oh, man. If you want to hear Morrissey pontificate about music, that's an awesome documentary for that. Anyway, the message won't come as a surprise to fans. Morrissey, age 54, has long asserted he is asexual and celibate. Mm-hmm. What does asexual mean?
No sex.
No sex?
Yep.
Well, does he have to say he's celibate then?
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
That seems a little redundant to
he's
me.
He's not attracted to either sex, or I guess...
is that what
asexual.
It is?
Well, no, I guess... asexual. Yeah, I just... really, well, I guess not attracted to either sex.
How did his girlfriend get in a coma then? What's going on there?
Well, maybe that was what brought it on.
Faceless, genderless person in a coma. I know.
All right. It's Syria.
I used to love... oh, my gosh, I still do. I love the Smiths. I love Morrissey. I don't know what it is about that weird, wonky music, but I dig it. I think it's great.
I went out for a job, and I found a job. And heaven knows I'm miserable now.
That is so it. Hold on, I gotta find some of it. Hold on. Morrissey. Oh my gosh, I put in MOR. Guess what comes up like by the thousands? Morning Stream, that's what comes up.
Oh, of course.
Hold on, we're gonna look this up.
Morrissey.
Morrissey. All right. MOR. No. MORR.
Yeah, two R's, two S's.
Oh, wait. I have three R's.
Or you could just pull up the Smiths.
That's true. Hold on. And it's not working for me. Smiths. Here we go. Like this one. Everyone knows this one. This is probably the biggest hit, right? Wouldn't you call it the most mainstream hit?
No, How Soon Is Now would be the biggest hit.
Oh, would it be?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go.
This is a friend in a coma. I know. It's serious.
How Soon Is Now is this? Oh, yeah. Now, that must sound weird coming in your ears.
Yeah, I only hear one. That's really weird with my ear.
Yeah, because some people know Skype only sends this stuff out in mono, and you only get one ear for our conversation. So all this music I play where it may only play in the left ear, Brian doesn't hear any of that. That's like that one song where it was like a Beatles thing or something.
You only hear like half the lyrics.
And you were like, hello?
Right. Yeah, Hey Bulldog is really funny to listen to with only one ear. Hey Bulldog by the Beatles.
Oh, right. Yeah, they do that a lot back then. I love the Smiths, dude.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I might have to go listen to some Smiths when this is over.
Me too. I think
In the hour before the Apple document or the Apple documentary, Apple live stream.
That hot documentary that's coming out.
That's today. Right. Exactly. 2013, Tim Russ
Tim Russ
got up on stage.
Yeah, Tim Russ. Tuvok, Star Trek's Tuvok got on stage
and introduced the new iPads.
Great. Hey, check it out. TweakedAudio.com sponsoring this part of the show before we take a break. Five great styles, seven great colors, and you can listen to Morrissey at the top of your ability to play it and play it well. Have it sound great. With all the noise reduction you need, you got people standing around you. You got a dog barking at you while you're trying to jog this morning, like happened to me outside of the park. Well, turn it up. Tweaked Audio takes care of you. Not a problem. Lifetime warranty. Use Steam at checkout. Use Steam, not choose it. Use Steam at checkout for 33% off.
Use it and use it.
That's at tweakedaudio.com. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Chinbeard. Jury. Some emails.
Right.
And other shit that we got planned. Before all that, though, a song of some kind, please.
Yes. How about something going out to Caroline, who says, "Hi, Sookie and Bill."
Sookie and Bill.
Sookie. I first introduced my husband to Coverville with the Jimi Hendrix cover story episode 705. He listened to Dion's cover of Purple Haze and stared at me wondering what on earth we were listening to. Later, he started listening to TMS and then got me hooked as well. My husband's birthday is on the 22nd of October, when he'll be turning the meaning of life. If you could play a song for him any day that week, it would be great. We're in a time zone that is 10 hours away from the only time zone that matters, so we listen to TMS on Tuesday through Friday. When you say it's the end of the week, it really is for us.
Wow.
I would love it if you could play a cover of something by Little Feat. Thanks for all you do, Caroline. Well, yes, happy to do that. So let's see, 10 hours... 10 hours away would be, I would guess, the UK, right?
Probably. Let's see, there's seven.
No, there's seven. Yeah, so
Be more like I don't know where that would be.
Further into Europe.
Yeah. Turkey, maybe.
Turkey. Yes.
Turkey.
That could definitely be it.
Sure.
All right. Let's see here. Let's play cover of a song by Little Feat, probably best known for their song Dixie Chicken. Yeah. I have a good cover of that.
Yeah, I love that song.
By Vanetta Fields and Davy Lane, a couple of Australian artists who performed it for the Rock Quiz Duets, this great game show that they do in Australian TV, where it's like it's basically one of the things that I based Battle of the Frog Pants All Stars on. So if you ever want to go find some videos on YouTube of Rock Quiz, it's ROCK. WIZ Rock Quiz. Here is their cover of Dixie Chicken, originally by Little Feat, going out to Caroline.
All right, here it is. When we come back, all that stuff I said and more. Stay tuned, please.
I seen the bright lights of Memphis and the Commodore Hotel, and underneath the street lamp I met a Southern Belle. Well, she took me to the river where she cast a spell, and in the Southern moonlight she sang a song so well. Well, you'd be my Dixie Chicken, I'll be your Tennessee Lamb. We can walk together down in Dixieland, down in Dixieland. Ooh. We took in all the hot spots, my money flowed like wine.
Yes, it did.
And that low-down Southern whiskey, it began to fog my mind. And I don't remember church bells or the money I laid down on the white picket fence and barbed walk down the edge of town. Oh, but boy, do I remember the strain of her frame, the nights we spent together, and the way she called my name. Well, you be my Dixie Chicken, I'll be your Tennessee Lamb, and we can walk together down in Dixieland, down in Dixieland. She ran away.
Yeah.
Yes, that guitar player sure could play. She always liked to sing along. She's always handy with a song. Well, one night in the lobby of the Commodore Hotel, a chance to meet a bartender who said he knew her well. And as he handed me a drink, began to hum a song. And all the boys there at the bar began to sing along.
Oh, yeah.
You be my Dixie Chicken, I'll be your Tennessee Lamb, and we can walk together down in Dixie Land, down in Dixie Land.
Sergeant, you've been deceived. This new cool and creamy pudding is not pudding.
Not pudding, Inspector.
Pudding doesn't come frozen or keep in your refrigerator for 2 weeks. See that richer, creamier texture?
I say.
Now the clincher.
It's a whole new dessert, disguised as pudding.
Precisely. Birdseye's new cool and creamy is too good to be pudding. Never judge a dessert by its cover, Sergeant.
Ah, yes. Excuse me, madam.
Tread softly, because you tread on my dreams. This is the Morning Stream.
And we're back. We're back.
Yes. Pudding. Quick clarification, yeah. By the way. Pudding. We got to talk about that, too. Vanetta Fields, who you heard in that song,
yeah.
Born in America, but now has moved to Australia, there in 82 and performs out there. But probably best known for a lot of backing vocal work that she did in the 70s and early 80s here in America with bands like Pink Floyd and Steely Dan. And she's the backing vocalist you hear in like Shine On, You Crazy Diamond and stuff like that.
That's
so
impressive.
Pink Floyd fans definitely familiar with Vanetta Fields' work.
Yeah. I love Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I like Pink Floyd.
Yeah. So tell Pudding, is that, that sounds like...
Pudding.
Oh,
this new cool and creamy pudding is not pudding.
And this guy.
Disguised as pudding.
Pudding.
Yeah, that sounds like, oh my God, who's the butler on Family Affair? Sebastian Cabot.
Oh, yeah.
Might be.
This guy.
This new cool and creamy pudding.
I think that's the commissioner, the police commissioner in the old Batman
series.
Batman.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah. But this guy.
Disguised as pudding.
He needs to change the way he says pudding.
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 It's like one syllable. Pudding.
Yeah, that was super annoying. I do love this.
Excuse me, madam.
There you go. That's a good one.
That's awesome, too.
Let's call Chinbeard. Okay? All right.
Okay. His pudding is not pudding either.
No. Forgot how to call him up. There we go. I have a little intro for him today. I think, isn't April with him this week? I think so.
Yes.
She's still over
yeah.
there. All right. Well, let's find out. We got a little thing for him here. Here's your new little bumper thing. Look, everybody, it's Bill Durant.
Hey, guys, quick fitness tip. Don't wear a jock strap, otherwise you get a high voice like this.
That's right.
Oh, no. Poor Bill, your voice sounds well, kind of sexy, actually.
Not supposed to, it's not supposed to tuck those testicles up so high. I understand how that works. Hey, what's going on? You got a visitor there, Bill. What's going on with that?
Yeah, we've been invaded here at Casa Duran by the Vikings.
Ah!
Well, one Viking.
Right.
That's all you need.
That is all you need. I've heard that. So what? Explain, April. How did you end up? How did you go from testing lab rats to testing Bill Duran rats in less than a week?
Part of the pillaging scheme. You know, you start with the rats, then you move your way on to the beards and stuff.
Great.
No, So I'm not content with my job, and I'm looking to find my own niche of people and a place to live. And I've always wanted to try the West Coast, so I'm in Seattle for a week. Seeing the awesome life of Chinbeard, and then I get to go next week. I'll be in San Diego to check out California.
Look at you, man, reaching out, trying to grab new dreams and hold on tight. That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, Seattle is winning right now.
Oh, yeah.
I have been having a blast.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with Seattle. That's a good town.
You got to go up to the Oddities shop in downtown Seattle.
Is that here?
Well, there's the New York one, right? And then there's one in Seattle, I think.
There's one in Seattle on the same street that all the like the aquarium and all that stuff is on.
Yeah, it is. Holy crap.
Is it by Pike?
Yeah. We'll go down there.
Fish and weird
Ye old curiosity shop. Yeah, they've got like shrunken heads and the oldest mummified remains of somebody. It's really cool.
Maybe my ex-boyfriend's there with his foreskin.
Oh, goodness.
Yes, right. You can buy it in a jar right there.
Forgot about that guy. That's cool. That's really cool that you might be sort of out in our quadrant of the country. That's a pretty cool idea. I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like cost of living has got to be cheaper in Seattle than it is in San Diego, though, right? Is that a big consideration?
Yes, but right now I live in Boston, which is the most expensive city on the East Coast, if not the country.
Mm.
I mean, minus Hawaii. So anywhere will either be the same or less, which will be nice.
That's a good way to look at it, yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I don't really want to continue in the lab if I can. I'd rather do art, so I'd be making less, but that's fine. I'd be happier.
That's all right. And that's a very artistic community up there. And lots of cool opportunities. That's great.
Bill's introduced me to so many of his friends, which are all very talented, artistic people, especially when we went to Geek Girl Con this past weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How'd that go?
It was cool.
Yeah. Lots of ladies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, Geek Girl and all that.
What was cool is that because it's a newer, smaller convention, it was a lot more intimate. The panel rooms are smaller. You could talk with panelists more. Like, you could actually approach people. And
more of a Nerdtacular vibe, perhaps.
Yeah, not quite as intimate as Nerdtacular.
Right.
I didn't get licked by Terpster.
No.
But still pretty intimate.
Yeah. And that's great.
There was a bunch of really fantastic panels, too. For example, there was one that we had to go to. It was something like making your living as an artist on the internet. Oh. I was like, wow, that sounds relevant.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So, there were four women panelists who were all artists on the internet, and they were all very insightful and make their livings doing it, which is really cool.
That's really cool. I know a few of my comic buddies had booths and stuff, so it was a... You know,
yep.
A place for people to do their normal con business and you know, I guess have this more sort of intimate deal. This is great. That's awesome. Congratulations, cool. Geek Girl, on a successful... Is this their first one or what?
I think it's their third one.
All right.
I just posted a link in the chat room there. We all dressed up in costumes, of course. And we got... April didn't bring a costume, so she got to wear my Mass Effect armor.
And she is swimming in that thing, by the way.
Yeah.
It was comfy. Well, I had the armor sweats, so I was swimming for a little while towards the end there.
And Bill's like, you know what? You can go and just keep that.
Yeah, hang on to that.
It did smell like man, because several people have worn that armor.
Yeah,
it smelled like around. Man? Is that what you said? Yeah.
But made for a while.
Several men. Men. It smelled like men.
Wow.
That's a different one, that's a different one, that's a different one.
That reminds me of I had a really good friend in high school. His name was Bill Evans. He actually lives in Seattle now as well. But anyway, he used to play hockey, and I had to go grab his gear once because he forgot it somewhere, and I had to go pick it up and take it to him. I've never smelled anything quite like that. It was like, this is what it reminded me of. You watch The Walking Dead and you're like, it must, now that you're surrounded by so much rotting death, that it's so overwhelming that it's almost like nothing smells like anything anymore.
Right.
That's how overwhelming it was. It hit you like truck, and then you forgot that anything smelled like anything anymore. It was the weirdest thing.
Last summer, I was dating a hockey goalie in the summer, and he didn't have air conditioning where he stored his hockey gear.
Oh, no.
Is that why you're not dating him anymore? Is that why that ended?
Maybe. No, actually, that's probably why I started dating him. But he's like, here, smell this. He'd hold his glove at me. I'm like, no.
Oh, gross. Yeah, that's
was
not
this
good.
In, like, seventh grade?
Or like 7 days ago.
Smell my glove. That's great. It's disgusting. Well, that's great. I'm glad you guys are having fun.
Yeah. So, Scott, I'm curious, what with you moving and everything, how have you been doing with your diet and exercise? Have you been able to keep up? Or
probably better than ever.
Because
it's been a weird coping mechanism with the stress of the move and just the banks and the timing and the people moving in and people moving out and all these issues, plus just, you know, trying to get a house ready to move all the crap out of, you know, with a family of four is no small task. And when we did this last time, my kids were all little, you know, Nick was four, Taylor was seven or whatever, and Carter was in the middle there, and it was just, they were little kids. It's very different now. They're small adults, they're teenagers with stuff in their rooms that has to be moved too. So there's a lot of stress involved. So what I've done is used the treadmill and the park as kind of my, more than ever, maybe my way of dealing with it. So it's like, you know what? I'm not going to feel good about the craziness of today unless I go, you know, 45 minutes on the treadmill or a half hour at the park or something somewhere so that I can just blow off some steam, listen to a podcast that has nothing to do with anything I'm busy doing. And it's been a really great escape valve for me. So if anything, the downside has been we've eaten out more because we're trying to pack stuff up. So we're bringing in food that's not great for us or whatever. But I've stayed. Actually, I've lost a couple of pounds. So now at 222, which is what? Now that's 20, 25 pounds lighter than I was in July when you saw me last. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been able to stick with it for some reason, so I'm as surprised as you are.
Yeah, it gets really tough. Well. It's really tough after you've packed your plates to really get any sort of cooking done in the house.
That's right. Just pack the big plates, and then if you have just small plates left, all your food will look bigger and you'll eat less.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're basically living on plastic and paper at this point, which is fine. You know, I don't mind that. So we're ruining the environment one day at a time all by ourselves.
Right.
Well, I'll tell you what. For some reason, I signed on to be and go to 5 conventions in 5 weeks.
Good Lord, man.
So yikes. I'm on number 3 is coming up. And it's been really, really tough to stick to my routine. Yeah. I'm getting just a tiny taste of what Jury must go through. Because I know that Joker is traveling around like a crazy person.
Yeah, and he vined his belly the other day. And he's a little softy there, you know. You can see there's not a lot of there's a one pack.
Yeah, it is hard to eat when you're traveling.
Mm-hmm. So, and I'll tell you, the first thing that goes for me is tracking calories. Like, I'm really good when I'm in my routine. I'm really good about tracking everything I eat. But as soon as I'm like, oh, I'm in New York City this weekend. Oh, I got Geek Girl Con next weekend. And all right, I'm not tracking anything. Screw it.
So what do you eat at a con? What do you try to do to get energy when you're at a convention? Do you have to eat the crap on hand, or do you have other plans? What do you do?
I try not to. What we do in Seattle, we have any Seattle convention, we have a routine. For lunch when we're at a convention, we go to Jimmy John's. And that's pretty good.
Yeah.
And then we go home and have dinner.
Well, Jimmy John's is good because it's quick calories,
burn, nothing fried.
But it's not terrible for you, but it's not, you know, the bread's not the greatest thing for you, but whatever, you need
but
that.
But you can easily, like, lay off the, you know, avoid the mayonnaise, avoid the cheese or whatever, and do extra veggies. Oh. They've got a really good veggie sub, actually.
Yeah, my daughter always gets it over there. She loves it.
So my plan right now, then, is just, I know I'm not making any progress towards my goals, so I'm just trying like hell to maintain. I'm still hitting the treadmill every morning. Mm-hmm. And there's problems. We had a party at our house, and people left all kinds of food here, and then you end up eating a bag of Ruffles chips as a snack at 4 in the afternoon for no good reason.
The things I've seen this man do totally destroy his reputation as fitness
geek. Awesome. Ran him out.
I'm going to blackmail and hold out for something good.
So, I mean, there are more and more. Like, so no more parties at my house for a while.
Aww.
Because we just end up with... And someone brought like a cheesecake Danish for dessert.
Whoa.
So that guy ate last night. We finished that off.
Of course you did. Why wouldn't you? That's sitting right there. It's looking at you. You can't let it go to waste. Eat it.
So things are – it's hard. Like, there are challenges right now. So if I can maintain, then I'll be pretty happy. But my new goal is after BlizzCon, once I can get back to a normal schedule, then it's going to be super fit man goal time. Because right now – I'll tell you, and it's – when you got to keep thinking long term – like, I don't need to drop 10 pounds right now for any reason.
Right.
So maintaining is okay. Putting weight back on, that's I don't want to do that.
Yeah, but that's my thing, too. Like, if I'm at least maintaining wherever I plateau, if I can at least hold it there until I figure out how to tweak it down again, that'd be great. When I go up even a pound, I get real mad.
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to do that anymore. It's so damn easy, too. Just like,
yeah, it is. Holy crap.
Put it back. Yeah.
Everything tastes so good.
Yep.
One more thing. I tried a new flavor of Adwala, the super. Yeah.
She's the delicious communications officer on the Galactica. Is she not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had the superfood, the green looking weird superfood. We had the mango. Mm-hmm. They have a carrot one, like carrot juice.
Yeah.
And, it's just carrots. Like, the ingredients are carrots. And it's a big old cup of orange, and it just tastes like carrots.
Orange poo, right? Orange poo? That's what you get? Yep.
Not bad.
Yeah.
It's all right.
Okay.
You like carrots?
Yeah.
But I still, my money's still on mango. Mango's still my favorite.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
have you forced, what health regime have you forced on April while she's been visiting?
The armor sauna.
Yeah.
Right. Yes. Lose 2 pounds by wearing this suit for an entire day.
And wearing boots that were, what, five sizes too big?
Yeah.
How many pairs of socks do you have to wear to make them fit?
Well, and the photo you posted doesn't do it justice. I've seen a couple of them, like one where she's squaring off with somebody in the middle of the floor.
Oh,
and you just look like Peter Dinklage in a Schwarzenegger outfit. Like, you just look tiny in there.
It was actually very comfortable and very well made, might I add.
Yeah.
And the boots were so big that it was like walking around barefoot because not one side of the boot touched my foot.
That's great.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, very nice. Well, good. Yep. Well, Bill, I hope you with BlizzCon coming up, I hope that after your convention season ends temporarily,
yeah,
that you can get back on whatever track you want.
Yep. And then I will be happy to report.
Yeah,
but right now I have no idea how much I weigh.
Don't
and
even
I'm
look
not looking
don't even look well I'm we're excited to see you.
Yeah, me too.
A couple
Holy
weeks
crap.
Is all really right.
Yeah, a couple
weeks.
Yeah. Oh, don't remind me.
Two and a half.
I have so much work to do in between now and then.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts. And April, get your ass out of there so we can get some work done. Jeez.
Oh, come on.
Just kidding.
I put her to work in the shop.
Yeah, I was watching him make molds yesterday. It's actually really cool to watch all the stuff he does. He really knows what he's doing.
No, he is he's a freaking genius. It drives me crazy watching him do stuff because I'm like, damn it, why can't we all do that?
Now I want to make stuff. I've already have an idea. I don't want to say it yet till I start doing it, but I'm converted. I'm a cosplayer now. That's it.
All right. Done. She's in. How about just a smaller shepherd outfit for you?
No, I like that one.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I can't think of a funner house guest than April. So I'm sure you guys are having a ball.
We're better house to host. It's been so awesome being here. It's just relaxed, comfortable, nice. You know, they only stab me when I'm sleeping. So it's great.
Bill, did I hear your wife got a job at Bungie?
Sure did.
What the hell, man.
Wow. Nice.
That's so cool. You might
maybe you heard the game they're working on. Something called
Descatani, something like that. I'm more excited about that game than I am just about any next-gen console game at this point.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
Everyone keeps talking about, what's the one that got delayed? Crap. Whatever it is. The one that just got delayed. But anyway, there's a bunch of others that are coming, and of all of them, the one that stands out to me is that. Because essentially, I've been told it's Bungie excellence and polish on top of what is essentially Borderlands-style loot. Game and I'm in.
Right.
I'm so in.
That's cool.
I'm sold.
Yeah, I can't wait. Well, that's great. Bill Duran, always a pleasure. April, it's nice to have you with us.
Nice to talk to you guys too.
You guys stay out of trouble. Chinbeard on Twitter, punishprops.com. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. I'm excited to see what you wear at BlizzCon.
Yeah.
More than just a small thong, please. Thanks. Bye. All right. That's it.
That's right. No sting from Dune cosplay going on there.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, gross. I forgot how gross that was. That is gross. That may as well have been, what was the one we saw? Zardoz. That's like the Zardoz outfit.
Yeah, it totally was.
Gross.
All right. Hey, he can pull it off.
If anyone can pull it off, it's Indiana Jones's father. If you really want to break it down.
Right.
All right, we're going to
try. I was thinking more about Sting, but okay, yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, sure, why not? That's a good point. All right, we're going to do this right here, everybody. Right here. Hold on. Right here. Where is this damn thing? Why do I lose his... There it is.
These are their stories.
I'm terrible with names.
Justin Robert Young on the line. Hello, Justin.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Every time. Nope, no edit. Nope, nothing in post. We just go straight up, man.
That's right.
If we're going to dick around, we may as well dick around with some pride.
I just want to say before we go any further, April, if she wants to add to her West Coast tour, she is more than welcome to stop in the Bay Area for two reasons. Number one, to find a metropolitan region more expensive than Boston.
Right.
And B, listen, I follow her on Vine. Yeah. This is a major NHL metropolitan market.
Yeah.
I feel like that we can put together a very attractive package for one Viking lass.
Yeah.
Is she big into the hockey?
I think so. She's pretty into
it. She lives at the TD Bank Garden at Bruins
really?
Games.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
There's two kinds of Viking lass vines. One where she's mugging in the stands of a Bruins game, and another one where she's torturing her dog with a ball. And that usually includes a hockey stick at some point.
Yeah, nice. Both of those are hockey indicators. You want to live somewhere expensive, San Francisco is the way to go. I remember, so I'll never forget this. Like in 2011, Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont come over to the house. And this was prior, Nerdtacular was starting the next day, and they were down a day early, and they were here at the house, and we were doing some stuff, and Tom did TNT from here and whatever. So this is all going on, and at the time, Veronica's sleeping on my couch with my cat, which sounds about right. So she says to Tom in a whispered voice as they walked into the house, she goes, I didn't know Scott was rich. And I went, you guys, this isn't San Francisco. So I did the numbers, right? If you took my square footage, the house we have, and the one we're selling now, we paid $220,000 for standard straight-ass loan, you know, normal. That seems really low because that exact same house, if it were in anywhere near Northern California, would be in the millions of dollars. It would be like $2.5 million for, you know, 2,900 to 3,300 square feet or whatever it is. And she just couldn't believe that. She's like, really? That's like, that's all they, you know. So it is. There's this like, huge difference between coastal area and anything inland. And
I mean, I travel a lot. And there, I did a game in upstate New York, like right on Lake George, I think. And it was like this gorgeous resort. It was like the nicest resort in the area. And I sat down for lunch and I'm eating there because I got to get work done there. And it's on the company, so screw it. I ain't paying for it. And like, I have a burger, and like, they come back, and it's in a fancy leather menu, and like, it smells of like ancient knowledge. And I open it, and it's like the same exact price that you would pay at a food truck in San Francisco.
Wow. Yeah, I mean that's the thing. People are like, oh yeah, $15 for a wrap. And you're like, whoa, that's like I could get into a drive up at Jimmy John's and feed the whole family for that.
Mm. Yeah, one time we were I was doing a game in Cincinnati technically, but Cincinnati is basically Kentucky. No one tells you that until you get there. Okay.
I had no idea until you just said it. So that's great.
Yeah, no, it is. It's bizarre. So I was staying in a hotel in Kentucky, literally looking into Cincinnati, and I went to a bar with another one of the game runners and. It took us three rounds of drinks. She was drinking some mixed drink, and I was drinking a beer. Three rounds to get under the $10 like credit card limit.
Wow!
Like that they had, and it was like mind blowing. Yeah. It was like that's something that like your first breath at a bar in the Mission puts you over the credit card limit. Yeah. They'll let you know that you know by way of the state of California, first breath tax. Has to be exacted upon all bills.
Yeah. It's like my poorest friends in California or the East Coast would be the richest people in my neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, that's that big of a difference. So, you know, Veronica's saying that. If she moved here and could, you know, had the same income potential in Salt Lake, she'd have the biggest house on the block, probably.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is the way it is. It is what it is, man. We live in strange economic times.
Yes. Also, speaking of vines 5 seconds ago, I did vine my belly. And I vined my belly for a specific reason because it's a dangerous thing for me because I don't like to – well, there's a line that gets crossed because as soon as I know that I can make people laugh with something,
right.
I tend to do it over and over again repeatedly because I have a problem.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of wanted to not – like, all right, I don't want to give myself – if I get fat, I don't want to make like, ooh, I'm fat jokes because then I'll be less likely to not like to not lose weight.
Oh, you'll go with it and John Candy yourself or something.
Well, exactly. And that's all you ever read is like you read these you know, Chris Farley, John Candy, all these like, you know, these stories of guys. And granted, they were like really, really big guys. And they were also like really, really funny, like way funnier than, you know, I will ever be. But
they were also tall, those guys. Like John Candy was a tall guy.
Yeah. No. And there was I recommended a thing on the Weird Things podcast last week, but there's an interview with Robert Smigel, and it's on a sports podcast. And I know everybody listening is like, screw sports, but it's called the BS Report, and they don't talk about sports at all. The most they talk about sports is the super fans sketches that he used to do on Saturday Night Live.
Right.
But he talked about how, you know, do you know Bob Odenkirk?
Yeah. Saul. Yeah.
Wrote, Saul Goodman wrote the Matt Foley motivational speaker sketch.
Really?
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
That's cool.
He wrote, yeah, La Jaga Van down by the river. And,
you know what? That kind of fits, though. That's weird. Like, yeah. I'm kind of, yeah. I guess I'm surprised because I hadn't heard it, but I'm not surprised now that I hear it in my head.
And so he wrote everything except the end. And Robert Smigel wrote the end. And the end was, of course, Farley falling through the table after being, like, doing a big, crazy Chris Farley pirouette. And he said that he always regretted it on some level, writing that, because he was, because Farley was so good at it that, like, his, the rest of his tenure at Saturday Night Live and pretty much the rest of his professional comedic life was spent running through things or falling through things.
Yeah, the physical side, do you think, so he believes that he spawned.
Well, that was the first time that it had been done on Saturday Night Live, where it was like, let's just write a thing where Chris falls through something.
Right.
You know? And then it was just, there was no stopping it from there on out.
Wow. And so therefore the cocaine, and then therefore the early death. So he's blamed it all on himself.
Well, I don't know if he blames his death. I think he just blames more of his comedic legacy. But if we're going to extrapolate, sure, why not? Yes, also his death.
So what you're saying Robert Smigel killed Chris Farley. Him. Okay, all right. Perfect. With the crime, the unsolved crime goes solved finally here on TMS. Well, good, man. Well, what's on your mind? What's up today? What is injuries craw?
Oh, man. I'll tell you what. This has been it's kind of weird because, like, I'm off the road for a couple weeks before I go. I don't know if I mentioned it on here. So I'm going to Singapore. Yeah,
that's happening now. You were rumoring it, but that's a deal now.
Yeah. I am going to Singapore. I'll put the dates. I don't know if there's any TMS listeners in Singapore, but certainly if there are, I would enjoy talking to them because I will literally know nobody else in a very wide region once I get out there. But
Do you know what city yet?
Are there cities in Singapore?
I think so.
I have no idea.
I think so. Like,
all I know is that I looked for airport because I was like, oh, I need to fly into somewhere, and it was like one airport in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least one.
Trilliad and the Tadpole is saying that Singapore is a city state.
Oh, it is. I thought it was. Yeah, I thought
so
they
it's
had
just one giant city.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay. Cool. Well, that's even. Oh, so because there's all these questions of on the internet about what is the capital of Singapore, and all the answers are coming back. It is its own.
Singapore.
Yeah, Singapore is the capital of Singapore is the answer I keep getting. So there you go.
In much the way that Guinness is the plural of Guinness.
So do you have concerns about knowing some of the common language, like where's a taxi or
so,
how much
no,
is this?
The official language of Singapore is English.
Oh,
so
shit.
I'm not worried about knowing the language. It's more and more of what is happening before I leave for Singapore, actually. Like, I actually have some time at home, so I want to get a lot of stuff done, but it's just, man, that's daunting.
Yeah.
It's daunting to just have, like, a bunch of stuff. And there's things that I want to finish I need to, like, have pretty much completely done, including formatting, like, before the end or before I leave, really. And it's like, it's hard because, like, I don't get to do any of the fun stuff about it. Yeah. Like, I'm working on it, but it's like, I don't want to tell people about it yet. Like, because, and it's the thing that I'm working, that I was working with you on, Scott.
Yes.
Like, it's like, I don't want to, like, I want to kind of build everything appropriately for it. And I also don't want to overhype it, but it's like, I'm really proud of it. But then also I just started sending out it's a short story collection. So I'm writing short stories, and I think I tweeted about that. So it's fine. But
I'm stoked about that. I think it's going to be awesome. Going to be
great.
Yeah,
but it's nerve wracking, and also I don't have a lot of time, and it's just a lot of stress.
Sure.
And that's basically been my life, is me just kind of having this conversation to you guys, except now there's actually somebody on the other line. It's just me muttering to myself.
Right. No, I completely understand. Like, I have this happen. I've got a similar book project that I want to have done before, well before Christmas, because I want people to be able to get it for Christmas. And I wish I could be that guy, like that guy that can just go up into his mountain retreat and write.
And yeah.
3 weeks and no one touches him and goes near him and he just, you know, is on the porch sipping coffee and thinking about his book the whole time. That just doesn't exist in my life. Like, I get to squeeze this stuff in, and I have a feeling it's true exactly the same for you. You got to squeeze this crap in edgewise because you're going to Singapore. You've got this other Go game to run. You've got 50 other flights you got to take, and you've got to be on these 10 different shows, and all of that stuff still has to happen during your week, and you want to do this cool pet project that you want to throw all your passion into. And it can be really hard to turn off the rest of that stuff so that you're giving it your focus. I have a real hard time with that.
Well, and the other thing is, like, you know, because stuff like this is kind of like the future for me, or at least in my plan, you know, like it's not only just like, oh, well, I would like to do this because it's a creative outlet, which it is. But it's also kind of like, well, the more that I can do stuff that is based on me kind of being a, you know, the internet, whatever internet personality I am, you know, the more that like that becomes a viable future going forward financially.
Sure.
You know,
of course.
Like, mm-hmm. And so it's hard because it's like, on one hand, it's like, oh man, like it's future versus past. And like, you know,
right.
Also I'm tired and I would like another coffee. Also, apparently, like, I don't know. Now, like also being home means that I have to deal with more home stuff. Yeah. You don't realize like how much being on the road also means that equals Ashley just deals with everything mm-hmm. at the house. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, like the bird looks like it's hurt. You need to drive him to the vet, you know? It's like that. I don't have to deal with that. If I'm in Cleveland, I can be like, oh man, poor bird.
Yeah.
Instead of like, okay, I need to take 4 hours out of my day.
Wish I was a robot when I hear stuff like this. So it could just simply be, hello, housemate. Hello, bird looks like it's hurt. I will take it to the vet. And that's it. But there's all this emotional, you know, I mean, it's Dr. Bird, for heaven's sakes. There's this emotional detachment. There's worry because you're not there. There's worry yeah. that you are there, but you got to leave in a week. Well, what's that going to mean? Well, they're going to put a cone on the bird. Well, what the hell does that mean? And then, you know, take my life and add kids into it.
Oh,
now
God,
you
got to
put
yeah.
You got to put cones on your kids. You know, yeah, whatever the equivalent
all your
is.
Kids are running around with cones on their necks.
Right, and it's just chaos. So, I mean, this what we're describing here is just life, but as it pertains to like the big stuff you want to do. This isn't like you and Brushwood going, you know what we ought to do? We're going to go to a bar in Austin and moon everybody all night.
Yeah.
That's great. That's a fun stunt. You
hold
do
on,
it once.
On,
you...
Let me write that down. That's good. Hold on.
Yeah, that's all great and everything, but it's not the same as, yeah, part of my future career plans are I want to be writing and I want to have some published work and I want to do this and that. And suddenly things get real serious and then everything else seems to want to get in the way of that stuff, you know? At least that's how yeah. I feel sometimes. So I totally get it. Totally get it.
Yeah, it's stressful, but you know, at the same time, like, you know, we just put the final cuts on Night Attack Live, which is in large part recorded at Nerdtacular. So I'm very happy about that. We'll have some details on that on NSFW tonight because we'll submit it. It'll hopefully be up for sale sometime next week or maybe even later this week, depending on how fast all that stuff gets approved by the various powers that be.
I can finally hear all the Utah jokes I missed because I wasn't in there. I was out.
Yeah, there
crap.
Weren't a lot of Utah jokes, but basically there's a lot of all the Nerdtacular stuff was pretty much character. So, like, we would we were very inspired because somebody during our last album mentioned that Night Attack 2, Enjoy the Garden, reminded them a lot of the 200-year-old man.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, the Mel Brooks thing.
2,000-year-old, so kind of, I think, wasn't it?
2,000-year-old. Oh, geez. Well, I mean, if you adjust for inflation, sure.
All right.
Yeah. So we decided to do an album that was like very much an homage of that,
yeah.
and kind of have a Brian interview characters, me as a character, and me and interview him, and so there was a lot of that. And then in Dragon Con, we kind of did more of Jesus, this bird, I swear to God, I'm going to put a cone on your goddamn head. We wanted to do more kind of traditional us telling personal stories. So Brian told the story of his bachelor party in which he got arrested.
Oh, that's so funny.
And I told a story that I don't even know if I want to mention on a show that is listened to by so many families. But let's just say it involved drug use at an early age.
Perfect.
And we'll leave that euphemistically, and it's a fun personal story.
If
that,
if that drives you to interest, then that will be available soon on iTunes, Amazon MP3. And
yeah.
If it doesn't, then you're none the wiser. So
then don't. Then, yeah. Then write Scott letters about it.
Right. Yeah, just send me emails.
He's to blame.
That I will promptly ignore.
You want to know? Great. You know, I've never gotten, like, I have gotten no negative feedback ever about TMS. I know it exists, right? But it just goes directly, I guess, like, nobody comes to me like, you should do something different. Yeah. It's always, I assume, like people going to you and saying, why do you have him on talking about these things?
No, I'm trying to think back. So I get all the feedback, and I've seen everything, you know, from crazy talk to normal talk to everything in between. And I don't think I've ever had a single email that said, I mean, we've maybe had people with differing opinions about the topic we discussed.
Yeah.
But their emails were implicit in saying, I disagree with you guys on this point, but man, I'm sure glad you guys had this conversation today. So I've never really had anybody with your segment in particular, because it's not true of all segments, say anything bad. I mean, Wendy's gotten more heat than you have.
Because Wendy points out white privilege.
And truth. That's always, she points out truth, and it's hard for some
that's
people.
That's always a hard one to swallow.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. It can be.
Which is one of those things where it's like, man, I'll tell you what, it's... And I've gotten kind of more of a close-up view on it since I've lived with Ashley, and kind of just, you know, by being closer to the production of her videos, I've watched them a little closer, and specifically watched not only her reaction but my reaction to the comments that she gets on her videos. And it's like, man, do me a favor. You want to just – I mean, anybody who thinks that kind of white male privilege doesn't exist – just do yourself a favor and pick a prominent female vlogger of your choice. Just watch the comments.
Any of them.
Just watch YouTube comments.
Yeah, any of them pretty much.
Like, just go ahead and, like, check back three times in the lifespan of a video, like a day in, a week in, a month in, and just kind of just get an idea, you know?
Yeah.
Make it the black like me of in a digital, you know, gender role version. Just go ahead and get it. Imagine those comments are about you.
Yeah. And do it prominent. If you want to get real, if you want to see the worst of it, find a female vlogger, podcaster, broadcaster person, somebody on YouTube who is specifically in the area of video game coverage.
Oh, God.
And you'll see the worst humanity has to offer, for sure. No question.
Yeah. I mean, it's bizarre, and I wrote a sketch with Ashley that she put up on her YouTube channel last week, and it was kind of a real quick sort of parody of Oprah talked to Diana Nyad and had a really silly exchange about atheism, and so we wrote like an extraordinarily silly kind of parody about it, and those were really nice comments, right? They were by and large very complimentary. The video was very funny. She's pretty. But, like, therein lies where things get a little weird, even in that, where it's, like, there's a lot of, like, oh, my God, I prefer you as a blonde or a brunette, because she has blonde hair, but then she wore a brunette wig to portray the Oprah side of it. Right. And it's, like, oh, like, look what you've turned me into. And it's, like, oh,
yeah,
good God, man.
Yeah.
Like, and these are compliments,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that these guys probably mean them in the purest of intentions, right?
Of course they do. Like, someone will put a comment in one of my daughter's Instagram photos that I will have posted or something, and they'll say, "Ooh, you're so pretty. Don't tell your dad." Now I know he, I know that he's being, you know, funny and just maybe even complimentary from the bottom of his heart. He just means she's pretty. That's okay if she thinks she's pretty. People are attractive or not.
Doesn't
whatever.
Mean you don't want to spin kick him.
Yeah. Immediately. Right. As soon as I read that, I'm like, I hope I don't see you soon. Because that just sounded, I mean, I've got dad sensitivity, so it's not really fair, but it's still, it's like this
No, I give you creepy the blessing. Thing. I give you the man in his early 30s, you know, without kids blessing. That makes me mad. Yeah. And I only know your daughters to have met them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, don't tell your dad. It's like,
right.
I know creepy. If I met this guy, I'd be like, oh, seriously, dude, I didn't mean anything. I know he'd say that. And he'd probably mean that.
And part of it is just the bad language.
Phrasing. It really is bad phrasing.
It's just the language. Like, you know, both of those particular ones, like, look what you turned me into and don't tell your dad, are just terrifying. And, like, you know, these are actual phrases used in situations that are not a compliment.
Right.
You know?
Right. Totally agree.
You just got to be careful with what you say, like, with where your language, like, creates the company you keep, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, for me, it's helpful to do the math. So if you see a video, let's say it's one of Ash's videos, and let's say it does, let's say she gets 10,000 views on a particular video. It's easy. I like to do the math and go 10,000 views and 50 comments. It's a pretty good ratio of who's crazy and who isn't. You know what I mean? Not crazy, but who's willing to be a douche and who's not willing to be a douche. And then of those comments, how many of them are actual, you know, freak nuts? And it's hard to tell sometimes who's who and who's what. And certainly there are going to be silent freak shows out there too. But I do take some comfort in the ratio of views to actual comments. That for some reason that math is comforting to me.
Yeah. It's weird, but I think I'm a better person for having been closer to it. You know.
I agree. And yeah, I agree. I think you're better. you're so much better than you used to be, dude. I like you so much better now.
I was the worst. I was just, what a disgusting little troglodyte I was on this show.
What an ass he used to be, but now he's amazing.
Well, I'll tell you what. Here, I will drop this because, believe you me, what begins now is a steady, steady drumbeat. Right up until I start to hawk the living hell out of what I teased that has been stressing me out lately.
That's fine.
But the project that I'm working on does feature artwork from one of your daughters.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Carter, who's quickly becoming the prominent artist in the family, has done artwork for this project he's working on. And not to give anything away, but I think you were right in thinking that that style is just about perfect for what you were trying to do.
And really, it's considering the content inside of what that is.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I wanted.
Yeah.
It was the way
I looked at it, because Justin's so nice. Let me just lay this out, because people, you hear Justin on NSFW and you might think, internet, what was the word last week? Loud internet barking dog.
Barking
dog internet idiot or whatever it was.
Yeah.
If lest you think that's actually true, because it isn't. One of his big concerns to me was like, well, the content in this thing, there's going to be some adult, you know, stuff in this project. Is that cool? And the way I looked at it was, absolutely, it's cool. She's doing cover art. But secondly, the reason it's not a big deal is I always like to look at it the way whoever the parents were of the Omen kid, all right? Whoever, so like, you know, we need to cast a kid. He's going to be basically the devil's spawn, and he's going to destroy the world and end up in the White House somehow, or I don't remember what the deal was. The first family adopted him at the end of that movie or whatever. It's an old 70s movie, look it up. But the point is, and there were many sequels, but the point is some kid had to be the Omen, or some, you know, two little girls had to be in The Shining. They had to find those kids down the hall. They had to have the boy on the thing. Do you think they were sitting around going, all right, now we're going to have you spend some time with Mr. King, and he's going to explain to you how blood's going to come rushing at you all the time, and it's going to be the worst thing ever, and your dad's going to have an axe. No, they didn't do any of that. They just let the kid play the part. So that's how I look at it.
they just said, point at the camera and say, play with us.
Right.
You know?
Right. So that was an easy choice. Not a big deal. I have no idea what's even in the thing. For all I know, you're plotting world domination, but...
No. Although the character for which there is a general theme to the short stories, and the one I wrote two nights ago, he murders a street pimp. and so, like, that's basically, at some point you'll understand who the character is, and you'll find that funny. Hopefully,
because there's a book. Yeah, because right now that sounds. ambiguously terrible, but if, when you know who the character is, then you'll be like, oh, all right, got it.
Now my interest is piqued.
See, look, that's what we're doing here. I know this game. I've played this before. We are hyping without hyping. This is great.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is what we like to
As
call
Dora the Explorer would say, Dora the Explorer would say, hype or no hyping. There you go.
Great.
Yeah.
Ask
your niece.
Well, there we go. I love you guys.
We love you too, Jerry. Take it easy. Have a great week. And I stay safe and sing it. When do you leave? When's the trip?
I don't know, because there's when I leave like my time, and then right. like I arrive 48 hours later, and then when I fly back, I take off from Singapore at 10 a.m. and I land in San Francisco after 22 hours of travel at 1 p.m. that day.
That same day.
Like I have 3 hours difference from when I leave to when I get there.
Okay, great. We'll be in a new administration by then, but somehow it'll exactly. be President
and
Taft.
And then I drive right up to Petaluma and do NSFW show. So
whoa, what
if you're
the heck?
A fan of jet lag, then get ready, ladies and germs.
That's a freak show right there. All right, it's Justin R. Young on Twitter and NSFW tonight on twitlive.tv. Make sure you catch that. And Justin, have a fantastic week, man.
Bye, guys.
See you, Jerry.
See ya. Bye now. All right. I'm actually having more knowledge. I don't have a ton of knowledge, but I have more knowledge about his project. I think people are going to freak out. It's going to be great.
Cool. Oh, I can't wait.
And my daughter, dude. I don't know what happened,
she
Brian.
She is an amazing talent.
This is what...
And don't sell yourself short.
Oh, I'm not. I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not. But here's my problem. Here's where I think I'm struggling.
Yeah.
It isn't like Kim and I were talking about this last night. It's not like I'm jealous of her talent. It's none of that. It's sure. that at 16, I was nowhere near this. And I don't mean
right.
by a year or something. I'm saying I was not doing work like her until I was in my late 20s. Like, that's how long it took me. Wow. Now, I thought I was good in high school. I was not good. I mean, I look back. I'm going through all these sketchbooks while we're moving stuff, right? And it's just terrible. I was terrible.
Sure.
But
sure.
so was everyone else. So I didn't have a lot to compare it to. My parents really didn't do this stuff, so I didn't really have that. I didn't have access to tools or any of that. So I know that in our environment, we've been able to say, all right, creative kid, creative offspring, we're going to give her the tools and the opportunities and all the things that will help her, give her the best shot at developing these skills and these talents, right? Mm-hmm. But she is so much better than anybody in her category. And she's better than some artists working online today that make full livings at this stuff.
That's great.
It is really great. It is
and
great.
She enjoys it, and it's something that she wants to continue doing. Like, she wants to... Is this a career path that she wants to
Absolutely
follow?
Absolutely the number one thing she wants to do. Like, she
there
loves this. She spends hours every day, which, by the way, is the trick. If people yeah. want to know what the trick is, it's drawing every day. And, you know, she's got access to my old Wacom over there. She's got tools she would have never had when I was a kid. Like, we're giving her all these opportunities. And it's so much fun, like, collaborating with her and working with her and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But part of me is like, damn it. Why couldn't I have had this kind of boost when I was 16? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't resent her for it.
Of course, I resent the timing
of it. And it just is like, dang it. Look how much further I'd be. Imagine where she's going to be when she's in her 30s and 40s. Just imagine.
Think of it this way. She wouldn't be as good as she is at this early age without the love and support and inspiration that you give her. So whether or not she's doing this at an earlier age than you, you got to look at it as, hey, you know, my influence, my experience and my supporting of her talent is what's gotten her this good this at this early an age. So,
I entirely agree. In fact, I don't think she would have I don't even know she'd be doing it, period. Like, I feel like she would, without that kind of boost and support, I don't think she'd even be trying. And that's the honest truth. I get that feeling anyway. I could be wrong.
Right, right.
So,
oh my God, I love the idea. Velvet Lip in the Tadpole says, Carter will someday make a daily cartoon and Scott and Coverville will be the Calvin and Hobbes.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, and that's the other thing we get to share, which is really great. So we're big Calvin and Hobbes fans in the house. And we, a fan sent me basically like almost like a rental, sent me his copy of Dear Mr. Watterson.
Oh, wow.
Which just
yeah.
came out on Blu-ray and stuff.
Yeah.
And we watched it together, her and I. And man, that was inspiring. But I can just see in her, she's so young. She's got so much energy. And she doesn't care about the things other 16-year-olds get so distracted by. She doesn't really care about driving her cars. I mean, she kind of does. We're pushing her to drive more instead of the other way around. It's usually the other way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
She doesn't care. She doesn't care about what people think about her. She doesn't have a bunch of peer pressure. She doesn't have friends that are girls that are driving her to make sure her hair and makeup and everything is like whatever it's supposed to be based on what they think it should be.
Sure.
She's not boy crazy. Like, none of this stuff matters to her all that much. I mean, she wants to be social and do cool things, but she's not, it's not killing her. It's not, she's not sitting around going, my parents won't let me go anywhere Friday night. Like, if she's got nothing going on a weekend, she's just like, I'm going to draw. Like, that's just how
she is. That's awesome. Jeez.
So these are the advantages. She's got the personality to match. She has a big boost from her family and from me. And, you know, I could see a day. It's not that inconceivable in the next, over the next 10 years, where she is actively integrated into what Frog Pants does and is a big part of it. Like, why not? Mm-hmm. She could totally do it. Or jump out on her own and make an amazing splash. So, yeah, it blows my mind. It's not jealousy. It's this weird sense of, gosh, I just wish that was me, because that's just so cool.
Right.
You know? I mean, and it is me. It just took me a lot longer to get here.
Exactly. You can't think of it like that. It's, you know, it's different. It's such a different time. It's such a different level of inspiration. And you know, again, having a cartoonist dad or an illustrator dad who does this and inspires her and supports her in doing that, I think is huge. So can't think of it like, you can't look at the timelines the same way between you and her.
No. Plus it was the 80s. And as great as they were, they kind of sucked for that. Anyway, back then it was still syndicates and bullshit.
Right, exactly.
Now it's do your own thing and you can do whatever you want. And then also...
Excuse me, madam.
There you go. Just to break the tension a little bit. Hey, everybody. We got a couple emails to rip through here, and they're brung to you by...
Retro, the multi-format throwback video game magazine, is only 99 cents and available now at tiny.cc/tech history. Just search the word retro on Kickstarter and support it today.
Okay, I think there's something janky there. Oh, really? I've got two things in there. Yeah, hold on. It's Retro, the multi-format throwback video game magazine. Just search for Retro on Kickstarter and support it today. The other bit, then there was an old thing for Tom. So that all sounded okay, but it wasn't. I'm hearing it going, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. You're right. Okay, so yeah, just search for Retro on Kickstarter. Yeah, that's all you need.
Nothing's 99 cents over there.
Thanks.
It's actually a project I'm really looking forward to, because and we're going to interview them for the final score, but they're taking some industry veteran dudes and making a game magazine that is specifically dedicated to retro game stuff, design, but also, you know, old games like arcade stuff and early NES stuff, and just kind of focused on classic gaming. And I think they deserve to be made. It's awesome. And they got big names involved. Anyway, it's really cool. People should check it out.
Cool.
Just search for Retro on Kickstarter. You'll find it. Saturday morning cartoon pioneer dies, we are told by Neil Patel. He thought we should know about this. Lou Scheimer. That's how I want to say it.
Scheimer. Okay.
It's a pioneer in Saturday morning television cartoons with hit shows like Superman, Fat Albert, and He-Man, has died at the age of 84.
And, what did he do for those? Was he an artist or
look him up real quick. Died Thursday, said writer Andy Magalis, who said he spoke with his family. Amy Rosenberg, his daughter-in-law, confirmed the passing. Let's see. He's the founder of Filmation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's how big of a deal he is.
That's cool. He's a huge deal, yeah.
I think I was going to find that real quick, actually. Let's see. Filmation. There it is. Check it out. You guys remember this? See? Like that.
Yep.
It began production of Saturday morning cartoon staples in the 60s, including superhero stories for the animated version of Star Trek. Or superhero stories and an animated version of Star Trek, so that he's responsible for that. Later, the studio found hits with Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids, He-Man and the Masters of the Universe, and She-Ra, Princess of Power. He occasionally did voice work for the cartoons. Filmation's library was purchased by DreamWorks last year. Really? What are they going to do with it? Weird. Ooh, does that mean Brave Star is going to be made into a movie? I can only hope so.
Oh, if only. If only that's the one thing, the one genesis that comes out of this.
Brave Star! I love Brave Star so much. Anyway, there you have it. Lou Schumer, rest in peace. Thanks, Neil, for letting us know about it. All right, that's it. We got a couple other emails. We'll save those for Wednesday.
All right.
Tomorrow we got Tom here. We got Nicole. She should be back from her big whirlwind trip to Missouri.
Yeah, yes.
Been busy for her, but it'll be good to have her back. And so many other things. I want to thank everybody for helping today's show be possible. Thank you, Scott Fletcher, alphageekradio.com/loot.com. And of course, if you want to find out more about us, frogpants.com/TMS. Find us on Twitter at MorningStream, Scott Johnson in Coverville. And send us your emails, themorningstream@gmail.com. All right. Are you doing Coverville this week? Or what's your plan?
Thursday will be Coverville, right? Because it's only once a week now, but twice the shows will be twice as long. So
nice.
I have no idea what's going to be in this 1,001th show.
What?
1,001st? You don't say 1,001st.
You say 1,001st, wouldn't you? That sounds
1,001st. Okay.
1,001th doesn't sound right.
Well, I know that's not right, but.
I think it's 1,001st. Chat room, do you concur? Do people in there concur? It'd be right?
Well, it's definitely not oneth, but
they're all anyway. Saying oneth anyway, but whatever.
Yeah. Anyway, so that'll be Thursday. Yeah, I don't know. There's going to be some requests in there. It's going to be a hodgepodge. It's going to be a bunch of great stuff. And there will be a cover story in every episode.
Yep.
Just like a prize at the bottom of the box.
Indeed. Excellent. Well, let's get out of here with another surprise at the bottom of this box.
Yes.
That being some sort of tune.
This one going out to Christopher. Dear Broadband and Sith, I grew up in a small town in Western Kansas in the late 90s when I was in seventh grade or thereabouts. A guy by the name of Steve Unruh moved to my town and took a position as the school music instructor. In addition to being an excellent role model and a dear friend throughout the years, Steve is most solely responsible for introducing me to prog rock. I was raised on 80s Rush, but Steve taught me to pay attention to everything going on in the background of music, hence my obsession with Yes, Rush, and Dream Theater, along with their respective contemporaries. Fast forward 15 years, Steve is now a senior electronic engineer for Hasbro, which is why their toys now play music in 15.8 and switch to 23.4 when the batteries get low.
What?
I have no idea. That's no so idea cool. what that means.
I don't know what it means, but it sounds great that they changed it.
And has recorded 8 solo albums. Not for those afraid of 20-minute songs. 4 albums with his band Resistor and has been involved with several other collaborative projects. Among these is an international supergroup of sorts called the Samurai of Prague, for which he was enlisted for his voice, flute, and violin skills. When I ordered the latest Samurai of Prague album, I saw the tracklist included Time and a Word, originally by Yes, one of my favorite songs ever recorded. I was not entirely aware at the time that it featured vocals by John Davison and was completely blown away when I heard it. That's right. My high school music teacher from a town of 1,200 people sang my favorite Yes song with the freaking lead singer from Yes.
Whoa.
Happy birthday, Steve. I can't wait to see what awesomeness lies ahead. Still love a snow cone from a hobo, though.
Not me, Christopher. Dude, I don't want that at all. That sounds terrible.
Christopher from the great Kansas Outback.
Wow.
So this is really cool. It's normally a 7-minute song. He said that we could cut it off after the first 5.5 minutes because there's a logical break. But from the brand new album from the Samurai of Prague called The Secrets of Disguise, it is Time and a Word.
All right. Well, as I like to refer to Brian as...
Shamefully thick and butterscotchy.
That's going to do it for us today. Butterscotchy, I don't think is the right way to say that either. Thanks, everybody, for being here. Thank you, Brian.
Yes, thank you, Scott Johnson.
Glad you're feeling better, and excited to do the rest of the week. So be here tomorrow, everybody, for a brand new show. Thanks for hanging out with us. It's Time and a Word. See you then.
Love is here and the time is now. 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 Getting things.
time that'll help us get it together again. Have you heard of a word that'll stop us going wrong? Well, the time is near, and the word you'll hear when you get things in perspective. Spread the news and help the world go round. There's a time, and the time is now, and it's right for me. It's right for me, and the time is now. There's a world.
Illegal, immoral, or fattening.